Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
What is the hope? The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? What's the hope we have? The Messiah, Jesus the Christ, lives inside of piddly old Michael and all of you. He lives in us. That's our hope.
What do you put your hope in? Is it your skills and abilities at your job, your money, relationships, or good works? Whatever it may be, it's gonna let you down at some point. As Pastor Michael will explain in today's message, when you live that way, you're bound to experience a lot of heartache and fear. But when you place your faith in Christ, He offers a steadfast hope. With Him, life will throw all kinds of problems your way, but you can have peace knowing that He'll work all things for your good. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 with today's edition of Burning Hearts.
For about 3 weeks, we drove down. I spoke in Texas, and then we went down to the Gulf Coast, and we went all the way to the Gulf Coast to Pensacola Beach, Florida. They treated us like kings and queens, and we had a great time, but the last day we were there, they took us out. We wanted to watch the sunset at the end of the island there where they're at. So we drove like 7 miles all the way to the very end, and we got there. It was just a little bit of daylight left, and we were looking out, and it was beautiful. It was right where the bay waters kind of hit the Gulf waters, and so it's kind of weird where what the water does there. The current's a little bit different. But I saw something I'd never seen in my life before, and we looked out, and there was, I guess you call them a pod, I'm not sure, but a bunch of dolphins. And so I'd never really seen that before. I was pretty excited, and I remember we went to Cancun one time, and you could pay like $150 to go swim with the dolphins. And I thought to myself, there's dolphins right there. They're not very far. I'm going to go swim with the stinking dolphins. This is awesome. And Doug and Lisa were like, go for it if you want to, you know, whatever. They weren't very far away, so I ripped off my shirt, man, and I ran out there. And you could walk. We had seen 3 stingrays. And so I was a little bit nervous, and I'm watching, but I got past the beginning. I got about waist deep, and I thought I need to, they look a little further than I thought they were, so I'm going to start swimming. So I put my head down, and I started swimming for like 20 seconds. Okay, not very long. When I put my head up, I realized the current had taken me very far away from the dolphins, and everybody was yelling at me, but I didn't hear them. So I looked up, and I thought, okay, those dolphins are really far away, and I'm kind of drifting out into the ocean here. So I thought, well, I want to swim with the dolphins. So I started swimming, but I was swimming against the current. I wasn't getting anywhere. About another 30 seconds, I was toasted. I'm telling you, every muscle in my body hurt, and I can't touch the ground. I'm way out there, and I'm getting further and further out. So these guys and my wife are on shore, and they're taking picture of birds and stuff. You know, they don't even notice. They're high-fiving each other that I'm about to die. I really was. I'm kind of making light of it. In my life, I've never had that close of a near-death experience. I was getting nervous. So I tried to swim to shore, but I can't, and I'm out. I have nothing left. So I laid back on my back and was just trying to get my strength back, and then when I got up, I was way out there, at least to me. They were like this big, so I start waving my arms. I'm like, call help. You know, we're way out the end. There's no lifeguard or nothing. This is way out there. It's starting to get dark. So I'm yelling, call help, call help. And of course, they don't hear me. They're playing games, I guess. I don't know what they were doing. Anyway, so I was pretty nervous, and I took a big gulp of seawater and vomited. And now I'm swimming in my vomit. It was awesome. It was great. So I didn't know what else to do except pray. And I was like, Lord, I grew up in Southern California. I understand surfing in the water, and there's these cyclical things. If you wait, it usually kind of comes around, and it will take you back into shore if you just are calm. But so I thought I would do that, but this was in a weird place with the current, and it was taking me further and further out. So I just began to pray, and I was like, Lord, and I honestly thought, I'm done. There's no way I'm making this. So here I come. Like, Jesus, this is going to be it, man. This is great. And it's so funny. I'm telling you this story because the truth is, I was scared, but I wasn't scared for my life. I was really scared for Kelly and my friends, because I thought they're going to be looking out and then they're not going to see me anymore. And there's nothing that they're going to be able to do except call somebody to come and find my body or whatever. And I those were the thoughts I had. And I literally thought, I cannot do this anymore. So I'm praying, I'm talking to the Lord, and somehow, I want to say, it seemed like forever, but I want to say like 30 minutes, 40 minutes, I've just started doing the breaststroke, and somehow the Lord gave me strength, and I got to where I could finally stand up again. And it's way down now, so they've had to walk down and meet me, and I am just can barely breathe, and I just want to tell them this. I've just had this experience, and they're like, ah, hey, how you doing, Michael? Was that fun? I was like, no, it wasn't fun. Anyway, I tell you all of that to say, in the midst of that experience, and I explained to them, and later, and Doug went back and looked at the currents that night. He's like, man, we should have never let you go out there. The current ratio or whatever was way too dangerous. You should not have made it. And I'm telling you that to say that there is a hope within a believer that I don't know if I can ever explain to you how it felt in that moment. I mean, I literally was okay with, if I was going to go home, I was scared for my wife. Obviously, that would be a horrible way for her to watch her husband go. But the truth was, and I just talked to the Lord. I said, here I come. This is it. You know, I don't think I'm making this, Lord, you know. Help my wife, love her. I'm just talking to him, and I'm doing the breaststroke, and I have no idea how I'm doing it. Gang, we have a hope within us that separates us from this world. I'm telling you, it's a very different thing. What is the hope? The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? What's the hope we have? The Messiah, Jesus the Christ, lives inside of piddly old Michael and all of you. He lives in us. That's our hope. We hear it so much. We go to church but gang, this is a huge deal. God Almighty can live inside of us, and it changes everything, I believe. In our text today, 1 Peter, and if you've been with us on Wednesday nights or watching the podcast or whatever, we've been studying 1 Peter, and Peter's writing to this group of people who he's encouraging them because they are, the tendency or the temptation for them would be to be without hope because Caesar Nero is in charge. He's the Roman emperor, and we've been talking about this, but he's been persecuting Christians. He hates Christianity. He wants to stamp it out. He wants to extinguish that flame of Christianity. So he's literally taking Christians and burning them at the stake, and he's throwing them into the lions, you know, at the Colosseum there for entertainment for people, and he's crucifying them. Peter himself would be crucified upside down. Major persecution. You read at the very beginning of the letter in 1 Peter that the Christians were dispersed. They had to get out of there because they were afraid for their lives. So they were settling in all these different places. And so when Peter writes this letter to encourage them, you have to put yourself in their sandals for a minute. What would it have been like to live in that kind of an environment? Not just the persecution, but the idea of having to leave everything, leave your job, leave your friends, leave the home that you've built or whatever, and totally go somewhere just so that your children and your wife, that yourself, that you guys would stay alive. And so they've uprooted everything, and everything's new to them. But yet, they will not deny Jesus because they're so in love with him. Man, I read history like this, and I just think, Michael, you're such a whiner. You're such a complainer. You know what I mean? It's just crazy. It's like we have this, yeah, this is a little teeny church, but look how pretty this is. Look where we're at. We can join together with brothers and sisters in freedom and just love Jesus with all of our guts. Do you ever feel like that, man? I'm pretty excited this morning. I don't know if you guys are. You're looking at me like you're dead. Dude, you get to love Jesus with every stinking fiber of your being. He gave his life for us, man. So I don't know. He's writing them to encourage them. And he's telling them, he's like, listen, I know it's hard. I know you've given up and you are giving up a lot of stuff here. But hang on, man, because it's worth it. What you give up for what you gain is worth it. Well, what do we gain? Dude, you gain eternal life, of course, heaven, that sounds nice. But you're gaining relationship with the living God. You're gaining purpose. Everyone, they don't have it. They don't have the hope that's within us. You with me? Gang, God's made us a promise, and the promise is I'm coming back for those that love me. That's a promise, dude. We hang on as Christians. We hang on to that. With what? With faith. This is how it works in Scripture. If you look at the pattern, God gives a promise. Faith believes the promise. Okay? Somebody out in the world out here that doesn't have faith, they don't believe God's promises, obviously. But faith, man, we as Christians, we believe the promise of God. And then hope anticipates the promise. Patience waits quietly for the promise. So follow the pattern here. God promises, faith believes the promise, hope anticipates the promise, it's coming! And then patience, we quietly endure, we quietly wait for the promise. Perfect example of this is Abraham, who's called the father of faith in the Bible. Abraham, of course, God gave him a promise, you're gonna have kids, like the sands of the seashore. Abraham's like, dude, I'm 99. That probably is not happening. My wife is 100. Like, I don't know if you, this would have been great about 80 years ago. This would have been awesome. God's like, nope, God gave him a promise. So Abraham believed the promise. We're told later in the Bible that just him believing that promise was accredited to him as righteousness, right? So he believed it. He held on, hope, anticipated it. God gave him his son, Isaac, which in Hebrew is translated laughter. Did you know that? Laughter. I love that. Why? Because then when his wife heard it, she started laughing. She's like, no, honey, you're wrinkly? No. But Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15 says that Abraham patiently endured until he obtained the promise. Gang, this is what the message, I think, for us as Christians living in 2021 is. You and I must be those who believe the promise, we anticipate the promise, and then we patiently endure until we obtain the promise. What's the promise? Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. I saw where the word hope, someone used as an acronym, and they said it stands for this. Hold on, pain ends. What a great message, right? Hold on, pain ends. Every tear will be wiped away. We're going to a place, gang, and I know we don't talk about it very much anymore. It is a reality for the believer in Jesus Christ. Hang on, pain will end. So we see Peter constantly encouraging these people because they're literally moved up. They've left. They're watching loved ones be killed. And Peter's saying, hang on, dude. Hang on. The pain will end. Amen? All right. I just want to read a couple verses today. In verse 13, who then will harm you if you are devoted to what is good? I love that. If you and I choose to do what is good, which I believe is following Christ, giving him our lives. If we choose to do that, Peter's like this. I know you're seeing people murdered. I get it. But who can harm you? Now, if I'm the audience here, I got to be honest with you. I'm thinking to myself, what do you mean who can harm me? I just watched my Christian brother get thrown to the lions. How about the lion dude? That guy can harm me. How about the dude who's lighting the match and burning people at the stake? How about that guy? Peter's like, no, you do good. No one can harm you. And this is what I think he means by that. He doesn't say no one can hurt you. In this life, there is hurts. You and I will deal with hurts that come down a part of our journey. We have hurts. But gang, when you believe in Jesus, when you're going after him, you might get hurt, but no one can harm you. You know why? Because in the end, you are in heaven. Does that make sense? So the real harm that can come can't come because you and I know Christ. Paul would say to be away from this body is to be with Christ. Like, that's the hope, right? No one can harm you. I think that's an interesting idea because people who live with that kind of a perspective on life, they live differently, man. They just do. You know, it's like whatever happens, happens. Their minds aren't consumed with earthly things. My portfolio or how I'm going to pay this or what I'm going to do with the kids here. It doesn't matter. None of that holds a candle to the heavenly mindset that we are called to have. Does that make sense? People live with that kind of a mindset. It's about Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will work itself out. That's my translation. Seek first God's kingdom. And people who live like that live differently. Let's keep going. Verse 14, he says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. What? Don't fear what they fear or be intimidated. Be in your hearts. Regard Christ the Lord as holy. Wow. It's weird when I read stuff like that in the Bible. Peter, if you suffer for righteousness, you're blessed. Can you imagine? Dude, whenever you're going through something really, really bad, you're so lucky. You're struggling with cancer? Oh, I wish I was you. This is what he's saying. And it shouldn't surprise us, because I'll tell you, Peter hung around with a dude named Jesus for 3 years. And Jesus used to say weird stuff like that on the Sermon on the Mount, right? Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, Jesus said these words, you are blessed when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. For that's how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Peter was just echoing what he had already heard Jesus say throughout Jesus' ministry. You're blessed. How in the world could you consider suffering or people insulting me or whatever? How in the world, where's the silver lining in that? Where's the blessing in that? And I'm going to suggest something to you that just to think about. When we go through tragedy, when we go through difficulties in our life, one of the things that happens, at least for me, and I think for all of us, is this. I'm reminded during those suffering times, I'm reminded that this world's not my home. And let me tell you, gang, that's a good thing. It's a good thing. When I go through suffering, the cords that bind me to this earth are severed. And I realize I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. It's all about Jesus. The backache, for me right now, it's my knee. I did something weird yesterday walking around in Walmart. I'm walking down the aisle, and all of a sudden I saw something down the aisle. I was like, oh, I'm going to go get that. And I turned, and I hear this crack in my knee. So awesome being older. Older. You see how I said that? Now that I'm in my early 30s, it's my body's falling apart. Backache, any kind of trial, man. You're at work, and you've been working your rear off, and someone else gets the promotion. You get the report from the doctor, and it's not great. How could any of that be a blessing? Well, it's a blessing if it reminds you that this world's not your home. No knee pain in heaven. Amen? No other people getting the promotion in heaven. No cancer in heaven. Amen? Let's keep going. I could go for a lot longer on that, but I'm not going to. Verse 15. But in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect, or reverence, keeping a clear conscience, so that when you are accused, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. Peter here says, be ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. I memorized that verse a long time ago in another translation. Be ready in season and out of season is what that translation said. But I like this. Just be ready at any time. Okay? Now, I got to tell you, I went to Bible college, I went to seminary, and I heard this verse a lot. And I always was taught a long word called apologetics, that this verse was speaking of the fact that you and I should be ready to defend the faith. If someone comes and says, I need, you know, what do you do this? That we should be ready to defend. So I would study arguments. I have like 3 books on just how to talk to Mormons when they come to your door. And I was ready, man. I was like, okay, well, turn with me here, and you guys believe this, and I don't. This is what the Bible, and I was ready to argue. Let me tell you, that is not primarily what this verse is talking about. You will never, listen, please hear this. You will never argue anybody into heaven. You just won't do it, dude. You cannot shove Jesus down anybody's throat or beat them over the head with your Bible. It will not work. This is why Peter throws in at the end there, when you give this reason for the hope that lies within you, do it with gentleness and respect or reverence. What happened? We've got to be gentle. Doing what? Telling people about the hope that I have just sharing very simply with people why I love Jesus. Does that make sense? You say, well, no one ever asked me about that. Man, you start walking after God, you start following God with all your heart, you watch how many people come into your path. I'm just telling you, you'll be on the gauntlet. People will say, how come, especially when you go through trials and you have a smile on your face. Because they're like, how in the world could that have happened to you? You had that loved one taken from you or whatever, and you're still joyful? How does that happen? You're like, I don't know, man. Jesus. That's how it happens. I just fell in love and gave my life to Jesus, and now I'm a different person. Now, sometimes people will go, oh, okay, whatever. End of conversation. Other times people are like, what? We make them thirsty. We stir up the hunger within them. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit has to draw them, but we can share. Be ready, in season, out of season, at any time, with anyone, people older than you, people younger, it might be your grandchildren, your children, I don't know, but you're ready at all times to give a reason for what? The hope that lies within us, Jesus Christ. And why do we need to be ready for this, guys? This is it, listen. It's because today, in 2021, people desperately need hope. They do, man. That's why we put that as our advertising thing in the paper. Got hope? People are needing of hope. Now, they may not articulate it that way. They're not walking down the street going, I need hope. They're not saying that. But I'm telling you, they have a deep desire for they need a light at the end of the tunnel. Because everybody's told them, if you get more education, if you get more money, if you get a bigger house, if you get more kids, whatever it is, and then they do that and they're like, it doesn't satisfy. I want to share with you four things that I think why people are without hope today, and that we can share with them and be ready in season, out of season, at any time to share with them the hope that we have within us. You guys with me? So I'll do this as quick as I possibly can. The first thing is this, people have a hole in their heart. I had a hole in my heart. I really did. There was an emptiness inside that really, I didn't even know how to articulate it, but I needed somebody to fill. Very famous theologian and thinker by the name of Augustine said this, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you, God. I love that. Our hearts are restless, man, until we find the Lord. Another famous theologian thinker named Pascal very famously said this quote. He said, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man that cannot be satisfied by anything but God. A God-shaped vacuum, a hole that's in there. And dude, I can try drugs, I can try alcohol, I can try sex, I can try money, I can try whatever to fill that void. But I'm telling you, I was created and every person on this planet was created with a God-shaped hole in their life. And nothing will satisfy. Life will never seem great until you find Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can fill the hole. I was thinking just about living here in Telluride and the whole Airbnb trade we got going here. It's pretty cool. You know, people will, rent their home out or whatever, and it's an Airbnb and let people come and stay. So I don't know if you've ever done that before, but if you have, you get online and you type in where you're going and Airbnb or whatever, and you might see pictures of different places and things like that. And so you finally pick one and you see what the cost is and you pick it. And then, you sign the contract or whatever, and you drive there. And so let's say you pull up into the driveway and you're there and you're like, wow, this is great. And so you get out of your car, you get your luggage, you walk up to the front door. And this is, I'm going to tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find a hole there. There's this little hole that until it's filled with the right thing, you ain't getting in. You're not going to enter into your week of vacation. You're not going to enter into your rest. Are you guys following me here?
As a follower of Jesus, you have a unique call on your life. You are, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That gives you a purpose and a chance to shine for Jesus in a world that's fallen away from him. You're expected to look different than those around you, to have actions and words that stand out, that point to Christ. This calling is for all believers, not just a certain nation or certain profession. And it isn't a mission that will be easy either. You aren't alone as you proclaim Jesus' grace through your life. You have brothers and sisters in Christ all around you. Today, we want to encourage you to draw strength from God's word from your community of faith, and from Jesus himself. We're so glad we were able to spend time with you today on Burning Hearts, the radio ministry of the Alpine Chapel and Pastor Michael Kraft. If you missed any part of today's message or would like to explore other teachings from the Bible, visit thealpinechapel.com today. While you're there, find out how you can join us in person for church this weekend. We're meeting Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 6 p.m. for a midweek dive back into the Word. You can get directions and all the information you need at thealpinechapel.com. Again, that's thealpinechapel.com. And be sure to join us next time for another edition of Burning Hearts.